My guest on this week's News Brief is Corey Hutchins, reporter for the nonprofit Colorado Independent, correspondent for Columbia Journalism Review's United States Project, visiting lecturer at Colorado College, and publisher of one of the best newsletters on the internet, Colorado Local News and Media. Thanks for joining me by phone from Colorado Springs, Corey.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So first up, this is Sunshine Week, and you've done a lot of reporting about government transparency and open records in your career. What does Sunshine Week mean to you?
Well, Sunshine Week is a week where news organizations across the country tell their readers and viewers and listeners about how we love to hold government accountable, how sunshine is the best disinfectant, and how everybody should understand how to use states' open records laws and things like that, although it's something that we should be doing all the time, not just one week a year. So what I generally use Sunshine Week for is a time to alert my readers sometimes to just the real bad problems with open government in Colorado and how bad sometimes getting access to public information can be. And so I can run down a couple of those, like the biggest hits, if you want to hear them.
Yeah.
All right. So in Colorado, law enforcement, I think, is an area of serious concern, right? They're public bodies, law enforcement agencies are. But in Colorado, we have, I think, the worst kind of provision, something called contrary to the public interest. And that means that while records of official action, like police reports and stuff like that, are generally public, Colorado law authorizes local police to determine for themselves what they think is releasable. And they do that by determining whether they believe it's in the public interest. My favorite case was when I first moved to Colorado. I read this really bizarre story in the local Alt Weekly here in Colorado Springs about a police dog that had allegedly jumped to its death off a parking garage at the local cop shop. It was just a strange story, and a taxpayer spends some money, you know, training these dogs, and we're supposed to believe them when they right. are used as evidence and stuff like that. So I just called up the police station and said, hey, you know, I know there's video surveillance all over your area. Could I just try and obtain video of what happened with that dog? And the first thing the person said was, no, even if that video exists, it's contrary to the public's interest. That's it. Done. And in Colorado, we're one of the states where my only recourse is to take them to court. So how often do you think citizens or journalists actually take public bodies to court, hiring a lawyer, spending the time, spending the money?
Right, not often.
So things like that, you know, Sunshine Week is just a way to point out that, you know, these things could be perhaps tweaked a little bit. State lawmakers might take a look at them. We should kind of take a look at our open records laws and see where the holes are.
You were part of a panel on Wednesday night hosted by the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition. I should point out KD&K is a member of CFOIC, as well as Nine News and the Society of Professional Journalists, called Getting to the Truth in an Age of Alternative Facts. How did it go?
We had journalists like me on there. We had Luis Toro from Ethics Watch. We had a libertarian writer, Ari Armstrong, was on there. Bob Steele from the Poynter Institute, the ethics guy, he was on the panel, a managing editor from the Denver Post. You know who else was on there? It was Jay Seaton. He's the publisher.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about
Grand
that.
Junction Daily Sentinel. Awesome to have him on because as the publisher of that newspaper, he has threatened a lawsuit against his local state senator, Republican Ray Scott, who called the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel fake news on Twitter and Facebook. Jay Seaton, the publisher of that paper, threatening a lawsuit. Now, this was a couple weeks ago. I wrote about it for CJR. A lot of people wrote about it. It was on NPR and the Washington Post. Anchor Kyle Clark straight up asked him, basically, hey, man, you said you were filing this lawsuit. It's been a while. Where's the suit? And he kind of bobbed and weaved and, you know, well, you know, I didn't want to have a knee-jerk reaction. You know, we want to spend the time. We want to look into it. We don't want to go half-cocked. I was hoping to kind of hear some maybe breaking news whether this lawsuit's going to drop or not. I'm starting to believe we might not see one.
So speaking of Sunshine Week, you have a new story out on CJR.org for the Columbia Journalism Review about a small newspaper in Washington State objecting to a bill sent by the city after the paper interviewed the city attorney. We need the sound effect for a record being scratched to a stop on this one. But the way the story plays out, it actually shows the power of the press. Can you explain?
Yeah, hilarious. So at CJR's United States Project, we've documented what I call a municipal media mischief over the years. We've reported some ways that city governments have really acted out of school with dealing with the press. For instance, in Montana, when a newspaper filed an open records request with the city responded with a lawsuit. There's another city in California that sued a guy for copyright infringement just for putting videos of, you know, public council meetings online.
Ouch.
This one was a new one. This little small newspaper on an island in Washington State in the Puget Sound, what happened here was a reporter talked to the city's attorney, asked the attorney some questions about something, and the attorney billed the city $64 for time spent talking to the reporter, and then the city's mayor turned around and billed the newspaper $64 and asked them to remit the cost for the reporter corresponding with the city's attorney. That is something we've just never seen before. The paper, rightly reported on this and very much in depth, getting council members on the record who were very incredulous about it. Wow, oh my gosh, we've never heard about this before. Getting open records, advocates on the record, press advocacy groups on the record saying this is kind of out of whack. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, something like this would happen, and the local newspaper would write about it, but only people in that small community would really know about it. You know, unless you're like mailing copies of the paper to your friends and family around the country. Nowadays, a link's a link. A link gets put on social media, and it just blows up. So you had like reporters at the New York Times and the LA Times kind of talking about how bananas this story is and how crazy these, here's another local official gone wild. A lot of Twitter snark. And the Seattle Times picks it up. The local TV station picks it up. I started reporting on it. And this all happened like Friday. And by Monday, the mayor has already backed off. It was just a joke. I was just kidding. I didn't really want you to pay that. But it's pretty clear in the reporting that the mayor really did seem to want the paper to pay this money to have access to its city-funded attorney. And when I talked to the editor of that paper, Justin Burnett, it was the South Whidbey Record, it was the small newspaper there. He told me that he really saw it as, proof of the power of the press, because he got the feeling that it was all that kind of outside attention that really kind of turned the mayor's head and kind of got him to realize, like, okay, I shouldn't be doing this.
My guest is Corey Hutchins, reporter for the Colorado Independent, correspondent for Columbia Journalism Review's United States Project, visiting lecturer at Colorado College, and author of one of my very favorite weekly email newsletters, Colorado Local News and Media. We'll link to Corey's work on our website. There are a few highlights in your newsletter this week. Over 200 people applied to be the next editor at Denver Post's The Cannabist, the weed column.
Surprise, right?
Right.
Best job in the country.
You also mentioned that a commenter on the Glenwood Springs Post-Independent website has been slapped with a libel lawsuit by an oil and gas company. And in the last minute we have left, I want to ask you about how Colorado newspapers are using President Trump's attack on the press to show their own value.
Yeah, good question. So this is something that I think Colorado newspapers in Colorado have been doing a pretty good job of. And I really focus on media issues in this state. What I really thought was smart and good to point out here in our state is how local newspapers from the Fort Collins Coloradan to the Pueblo Chieftain to the Denver Post to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, they used Donald Trump's attack on the press, where he called credible news organizations fake news, and he called news organizations the enemy of the people. And the way some of these local papers in Colorado responded was by running columns by their journalists or their editors or having a guest columnist come in and really use the opportunity to explain their own value to their local readers. For instance, the Pueblo Chieftain's managing editor wrote an entire column saying, yeah, sure, we're the enemy of the people if you consider the people. And then he started listing all like the corrupt people that his paper has exposed and busted, recently, all the organized crime outfits they've exposed, the, public officials who violated open meetings laws, stuff like that. The Fort Collins Coloradan did something similar, where one of their reporters wrote a kind of first-person piece just laying out some of the great local journalism that the paper's done and how much value it has to the community, and saying that, like, look, that's not being an enemy of the people. The Denver Post had a former war correspondent from ABC News write a guest, and he lives in Evergreen, Colorado, Greg Dobbs, and he wrote, a piece kind of pointing out all the risks he's taken as a war correspondent, getting beaten up in an Islamic cemetery, getting death threats from an arms dealer he was reporting on, having a colleague killed right in front of him, stuff like that. And then saying, the reason we do this and the reason we take these risks as journalists is to make sure, quote, the American people know what's going on.
Wow. Well, we have to leave it there. Corey Hutchins, thanks for being back on KDNK for our news brief, and we'll link to your work on our website, kdnk.org.
Hey, you bet. Thanks again.